My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Day Adventist Congregation, Mount Zion, 12th Hour, in Living Hill, Texas. Today is November 7, 2016, or it is Kislev 8 of 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Since Yahshua Came Into My Heart. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Yahshua came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Yahshua came into my heart. Since Yahshua came into my heart, since Yahshua came into my heart, there's a joy on my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Yahshua came into my heart, I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Since Yahshua came into my heart, and no dark clouds of doubt now my pathway obscure. Since Yahshua came into my heart, since Yahshua came into my heart, since Yahshua came into my heart, there's a joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Yahshua came into my heart, there's a light in the valley of Gethsemane for me. Since Yahshua came into my heart, and the gates of the city beyond I can see. Since Yahshua came into my heart, since Yahshua came into my heart, since Yahshua came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Yahshua came into my heart, I shall go there to dwell in the city I know. Since Yahshua came into my heart, and I'm happy, so happy as onward I go. Since Yahshua came into my heart, since Yahshua came into my heart, since Yahshua came into my heart, there's a joy for my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Yahshua came into my heart, Yahweh's Covenant with Abraham, Part 23. We're going to continue on our study. Daniel chapter 11. We're going to start with verse 7. It says, "But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail. Shall also carry captives into Egypt, their gods, with their princes and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return into his own land." Now this prophecy applies to us today. We know that Obama represents the king of the south, the president of the United States. He came into his kingdom in 2008 when he became the President of the United States. He's been there 8 years. And his time is up, and he don't have no plans of leaving, because he's in prophecy as the king of the South, and once he gets in power, he don't have any intentions of giving it up. Only by warfare will it be given up. So it says in Daniel 11:10, let's see what happens. But his sons shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south, Obama, shall be moved with choler, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north, and he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000, but he shall not be strengthened by it. For the king of the north... Okay. Now we have a new wrinkle here. Donald Trump has come on the scene as representing the king of the north, not the Pope of the Catholic Church like I taught before. Rome is the king of the north. But since Donald Trump, Rome and Babylon are interchangeable. So, Obama has been ruling as the king of the south over Babylon, spiritual Babylon today, which is same thing as spiritual Rome, Vatican. Now, the plot thickens, but it's getting clearer. Now we have another king coming out of the north, Donald Trump, Antipas Cyrus. For the king of the north shall return and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. Okay. Now Cyrus came with a great army and much riches in the tithe. And he overthrew at least 7 nations and kingdoms. Babylon about the 4th one. And then Cyrus had himself set up as king of Babylon. And then he put it in charge of Darius, and he went on his way. Or he put it in charge of the local people, and he went on his way, Cyrus did, in the tithe. And he went on down into Egypt, and that's where he got killed in battle. But his son continued on and overthrew 3 nations more and added to the collection that Cyrus had already gained 4 nations. So there's about 7 nations in all that was overthrown by the empire of King Cyrus. About from 559 B.C. to 531 B.C. is when that all took place. It was about a 30-year period, 28-year period there. Okay. Daniel 11:14, and in those times there shall many stand up against the king of the south, also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mount and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. And this is the prophecy that's being fulfilled to this very moment, with Donald Trump coming with his great army that has joined him, of all of our military forces in this country, and police, and anybody that's in the security business have joined Donald Trump to overthrow this virulent kingdom of the king of the south, the Obama and company. But he that cometh against him shall do according unto his own will, and none shall stand before him. He shall stand in a glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. Cyrus delivered the children of Judah out of Babylon, and he helped them to get back to their own land, and helped them to set up Jerusalem again and to rebuild it, furnish them finances, furnish them soldiers, armor, and carriages, and chariots and so forth to take all of the vessels of the sanctuary back to Jerusalem and rebuild it and restore Jerusalem and raise up the walls thereof and so forth. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause a reproach offered by him to cease without his own reproach. He shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, and neither in anger nor in battle. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Well, we know this prophecy applied to the fourth beast there in Daniel's vision there at the cross, pagan Rome. We know this applied there. Okay. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. Okay. And now, this has a twofold prophecy. And it's to fulfill, it's being fulfilled right now in our time. And as the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. Apparently this is talking about the king of the south, unless it shows me differently. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. And he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall stand, for they shall... They shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against them. Actually, this is a battle between pagan Rome, the king of the north, the pope. And I said Donald Trump was this king of the north. Well, he is a king of the north as well. He represents the king of the north that's come at this time, but he is not the one that is being thrown down and defeated. Because he will win this battle. Let us go ahead. Daniel 11:26. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. But it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. So we know this prophecy met its fulfillment with pagan Rome, and I believe Constantine in 321, a Council of Nicaea, when Constantine the emperor had to change of this from the Sabbath to Sunday. But anyway, it says that the king of the north, Rome. Back then, spoke lies to the king of the south, saying that Gabriel appeared unto me and told me that I am in charge of the kingdom. And the pope, the king of the south, the Arab king, he said, no, Gabriel appeared unto me and told me, through Mohammed, that I am to rule and be in charge of the everlasting kingdom. All right, let's go ahead. Then shall he return unto his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return unto his own land. Okay. Now we're talking about at the appointed time, verse 29, Daniel 11, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter, for the ships of Chittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved, and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. Because now we know Obama has indignation against the Holy Covenant today. That's the Abrahamic covenant that we're showing that is still in vogue, in operation. So shall he do? He shall even return to have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. He's going to have intelligence with those that forsake the Holy Covenant. And we know the Catholic Church has forsaken the Holy Covenant. We know that the Muslim world has forsaken the Holy Covenant. And these are these two kings of the north and the south represented here. An arm shall stand on his part. This is somebody's got military might. And they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength and shall take away the daily sacrifice. That's your 9 o'clock and the three. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Okay, we know that that has a twofold meaning. We know that Brother Johnson brought the abomination that made desolate Gilead Center. We know that. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their Elohim shall be strong and do exploit. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame and by captivity and by spoil many days. And when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. But many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for an appointed time. Prophecy of a willful king, that's verse 36, and the king shall do according unto his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. This is Obama. This is Obama. He's already done this. It's already on record. We have a video of it. Blaspheming the Yahweh of the creator of this earth and the universe. Blaspheming the United States for being a free and righteous nation, a Christian nation. And shall speak marvelous things against Yahweh of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. Now this word indignation is a key word. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. Okay, this means, the God of forces means the God, I believe, of wealth, of money. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold. There it is right there. And silver, and with precious stone, and pleasant things. This shall he do in the most strongholds of the strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Well, we know this has happened in the land of Israel. It has been divided for gain. Definitely has. Since Israel took it over fully in 1967, they had to fight that six-day war to defeat five kings that was trying to take their land back away from them that they had gotten back in 1948. And so they have since divided that land for gain over there in the land of Israel. Now this prophecy met its fulfillment And is meet its fulfillment to even as we speak today from 1967 to 2017, you have a 50-year period there. And 2017 is when they stopped dividing this land for gain over there in Israel. Because this is a jubilee year, and this is the year they set the captives free, and the land reverts back to its original deed and ownership. So this prophecy of Daniel 11:39 is meeting its fulfillment now. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south, the push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariot, and with horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries, and shall overflow and pass over. Now in this case, this prophecy, the king of the south is Obama. The Arabs, the king of the north would then be the Pope, because he is the one that's moved, he's a Jesuit, Francis, he's moved toward taking over and planting his palace there in the glorious mountain, there in Jerusalem, okay, and shall come against him like a whirlwind. Let's read that again, verse 40. And at the time of the end, we're in the 12th hour, this is the beginning of the end, starting 2002, shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. Well, we know that's exactly what's happened with this king of the south. He has actually this king of the north. So he's going to come in and overthrow all those Middle Eastern, those Muslim nations, Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, all of those. And he says, that these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab. Edom and Moab are the descendants of Lot, which was a Hebrew, a nephew of Abraham. So this is what they're talking about. These are Hebrews here, and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold. And Obama definitely has power over treasures of gold, and so does the Pope at the Vatican. He has the power over the treasures of gold, even the gold that represents the United States' treasury, and gold of the silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his step. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and to utterly to make away many. That's happened right now in the Middle East. They got an ISIS cell of what they call the Islamic State, and they have been armed, and they have well financed and well orchestrated to overthrow all the nations of Europe in the East. So it says, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Well, Obama and the Pope have collaborated together to do this, what I just read, to plant their palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain in Jerusalem. But you know what it says? And that he shall come to his end, yet he shall come to his end. Okay, so Obama, the king of the south, collaborated with the king of the north to make away many nations and to rob their treasuries of their gold and silver and all of their precious things. But it says these two, they come to their end and none to help them. Okay, so Donald Trump figures in as the king of the north that comes down and overthrows this king of the north and king of the south that is presently in power, and that is the Pope and Obama. The two have collaborated together to have a twofold power, with the Illuminati being their threefold power that gives them the power and so forth to accomplish the things that they're doing here in the world. Okay, this is the end of chapter 11 of Daniel. And then you know what Daniel chapter 12 is. It said, Michael stand up to deliver his saints in the, at the beginning of the time of trouble, like there never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Make sure that we get our names written in the book, and I can show you how to get that done. Let us now continue on with this word covenant. We'll now go to Hosea chapter 2. Verse 18 is our memory verse for chapter 2, I believe. Okay, it's chapter 2 of Hosea. Okay, it says that, and in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. Okay, we read the whole chapter of Hosea 2. Starting with verse 1, it says, Say ye unto your brother, Ami, and unto your sisters, Ruama, plead with your mother, plead for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts. Now I'm going to bring this up to present time, where we're at today, and I'm going to start back over and reread this, starting with chapter Hosea 2, verse 1. Say ye unto your brethren Ami, and to your sisters Ruama. Now this is, he's speaking to Jezreel here, the oldest son of Hosea. And Jezreel has, two siblings. He has a brother and a sister. Their name is Ami and Ruama. Okay, he says, now plead with your mother, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now this Ami and Ruama represents the Davidians. Okay. Now we have a brother and a sister here, and they represent the Davidians. Okay. So it says, plead with your mother, plead, for she, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, for she is not my wife. Okay. So now it says, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Well, you notice that Yahweh is not the husband either of either one of these siblings either. For the prophecy shows that the Davidians, Vitihala for the shepherd rod, representing this here brother and sister, and his time, sent a message back to the Adventist church telling her that Yahweh no longer regards her as his wife. Plead with your mother, Seventh-day Adventist church, for she is not my wife. Neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked, and sit her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and sit her like a dry land, and slay her with the thirst. Now this prophecy is more related to Gilead Center, Brothers Johnson, because he was the one that had the charge of the candlestick of Laodicea, the last one in charge with the third feeding pastor, Gilead Center, and he's the one that restored the sanctuary system by the creation calendar, restoring the ordained system of true worship back to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's what the creation calendar was for. And he says, this prophecy is for Verlus Johnson here in verse 3. He says, verse 2, said, plead with your mother, Gilead sinner, brother said to Jonathan, plead with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. So he says to Brother Johnson, the message is telling Brother Johnson, says, let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breast. Well, Brother Johnson, he was practicing these here whoredoms as well. But yet he was given a message to give back to Mother and tell her to put away her whoredoms. Well, Brother Johnson, representing the prophet and the angel of the seventh candlestick, Laodicea, presiding over the messages that was to be delivered to Mother, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and so therefore this applies to Gilead Center, clear up to 2002. So he says, put away your whoredoms as well, because you represent the Seventh-day Adventist Church, of Brother Johnson, at Gilead Center. You're the spiritual eyesight and with the inspiration to admonish Mother to put away her whoredoms. But if you end up doing the same thing she's doing, so how can you admonish her to put away her whoredom? But nevertheless, Gilead Center was given the command to admonish the Seventh-day Adventist Church to put away her idolatrous, her fornication and adultery. So he says in verse 3 of Hosea chapter 2, lest I strip her naked and sit her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and sit her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, okay, for they be the children of whoredom. So all you Adventist laity today now, they're nothing but children of whoredom, the members of the Adventist Church today. For their mother hath played the harlot, since she that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. So the Adventist Church ended up doing that very thing. She went and joined up with Mystery Babylon today, the Catholic Church, and she went and joined up with her, and that's where she pays her allegiance to today, to the Catholic Church. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy ways with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return unto my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. So the Adventist Church, Yahweh multiplied their blessings, the Davidians and the Branch Davidians, Gilead Center. He multiplied their blessings and their gold. But he said they prepared everything, and their form of worship, they prepared it all for Baal. Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time of thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover her nakedness. Go read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 5 on that nakedness, and the Revelation 3, 14 to 19 on that nakedness. So it says, and now will I discover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers. Who are her lovers? All of the affiliated, what they so-called Christian churches, including the Catholic Church, and none shall deliver her out of my hand. I will also cause all her mirth to cease, her feast days, her new moon, her Sabbath, and her solemn feast. Go read Isaiah chapter 1, the whole chapter for the witness also for this. And I will destroy her vines and her fig trees, whereof she has said, these are my rewards that my lovers have given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall eat them. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, when she burned incense unto them, and she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers, and forget me, saith Yahweh. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, and bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfortably unto her, And that's exactly what happened to the third branch of the Adventist Church, the third feeding pouch at Gilead Center, that was given the creation calendar to restore the sanctuary system back to its rightful order, fulfilling Ellen G. White's prophecy, where she said there in Bible commentary number 8, I believe, page 242, she said that sanctuary was to be restored and put back in its rightful order, and Brother Johnson was the one called to do that in 1970. Therefore, will I allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her, and I will give her, but it said he allured her and brought her to the wilderness. That's exactly where Brother Johnson was sent. He was sent to the wilderness for his 40-year tenure with Gilead Center, but he was cut off in the midst of it. He was cut off after 33 years in 2003. And I continued on and filled out the remaining 7 years for Gilead Center after 2010. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Acre for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be at that day, saith Yahweh, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baal, in other words. Ishi means my husband. For I will take away the name of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant with them. This is the everlasting covenant of Abraham. With the beast of the field. So that covenant covers both man and beast. For them with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground, and I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely, and I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Yahweh. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith Yahweh, I will hear the heaven, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn and the wine and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. This is the oldest sibling of the two others, Ami and Ruama. This Jezreel is the oldest sibling, born unto Hosea. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, United States, in prophecy, in this particular prophecy. And I will have mercy upon her that hath not obtained mercy, and I will say unto them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my Elohim. I'll just continue now with the word covenant. We're in Hosea chapter 6 now. It says, come and let us return unto the Yahweh. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Yahweh, his going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain in the earth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of Yahweh more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of them that work iniquity and is polluted with blood. And as troops of robbers wait for a man, so the company of priests murdering away by consent, for they commit lewdness. I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is the whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he has set an harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. Now let's do a little review in Hosea chapter 2. Let's go to verse 17. It says, "For I will take away the name of Balaam out of her mouth." Whose mouth? His church, the house of Israel, Judah. "And they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely." Now this goes along with Isaiah's testimony on this same event. I believe it's in Isaiah chapter 11, about where he makes a covenant of peace with the animals. Anyway, let's go ahead. It says "And I will betroth thee unto me." So this is, he's going to have a new wedding. He's going to take his wife back. And it says right there in verse 19, "I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, and in loving kindnesses and in mercies." Now this is your sure mercies of David. And if I were to check this verse of the cross reference, I may very well find that it cross reference with the sure mercies of David. It may not, but that's usually what it means. As we go into chapter 3, Hosea chapter 8, our key verse is verse 1 on that one. It says, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth." Well, let's try it again. In Hosea chapter 8, it says, "Israel is swallowed up. Set the trumpet unto thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Yahweh, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law." Now this happened in every feeding pasture of the Adventist Church, starting with Bashan in 1930. They had filled up their cup, the Adventist Church had filled up their cup with the abominations, by letting the General Conference form and take over the leadership of the Adventist Church with the General Conference president that was nothing but a Jesuit Catholic. And it says, so this prophecy is for the Adventist Church, Hosea, from the time the Advent began in 1844, when she came to her first judgment in 1888, the Righteous by Faith message brought by Jonathan Wagner, the Adventists came to their first test and for their first judgment for the Church. Adventists have gone through four judgments, and the last one closed out the judgment of the dead. The first judgment was in 1890, when they were called to accept either Ellen G. White's Righteousness by Faith message as Jones and Wagner and continue on following her, or accept the General Conference brethren and their apostatized doctrine that they had apostatized from the Adventist Church, took over the leadership, and forced Ellen G. White to take a back seat. And so they represented those that have transgressed my covenant. 1890. The Adventist Church, the spiritual Judah of the Adventist Church, the lawgiver, they had a 40-year fast from 1890 to 1930. And then that's when Yahweh raised up another prophet, V.T. Hotta, and give him a message called, "Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it?" Micah 6:9. And so the Adventists were brought to another test and another judgment. And he says, set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Yahweh, because they have transgressed my covenant. Okay, so this applies to Adventists in our day, because they're the authors of the prophecy that says judgment began in 1844. And Ellen G. White gave the prophecy on that, and she showed where the judgment of the dead began in 1844, starting at the atonement of 1844. Well, atonement means judgment day. So the Millerites, the first day Adventists, were brought to judgment to see if they would step into the next step to join the Seventh-day Adventists, and they said it was on the Day of Atonement. It's called the Antipodal Day of Atonement, and if you go read your Law of Moses on that, the Day of Atonement is Judgment Day every year for Israel when they were following the sanctuary system year by year back then. So, when Yahweh restored a sanctuary system back to Israel, the Adventist Church in 1844, at the end of the 2300-day prophecy, when it made its fulfillment, then they were under judgment. Adventists have been under judgment ever since 1844. Every step of the way, even up to this very moment. And it says, and then in 1970, the Shepherd Rod had two leadership during that 40-year period, Verlis Johnson and Ben Roden. And so when it come time for the Rod period to be over with, the second feeding pastor of Mount Carmel, he always sent a messenger. He raised up a messenger in the midst of them, Verlis W. Johnson. And Verlis Johnson gave them a message and told them to come now and hear the Isaac Branch message. Because the shepherd's rod, by command of Yahweh through the prophecies, told his prophet, P.T. Hollis, to announce to the people that they were to hear the rod and the one who had appointed it. But in 1970, they were told to hear the branch and the one who appointed it. Okay, it says in Hosea 8:2. Israel shall cry unto me, my Elohim, we know thee. Israel hath cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. Well, okay. So Yahweh raised up a prophet in the midst of Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas, 2002. And he says, hear this. And guess what the message was? And this prophet was told to hear. Once again, it was a repeat of hear ye the rod and who hath appointed it. Now, if you will read about the chain of command, as far as the family tree of David, which starts with his father Jesse, and Jesse represented the Adventist Church in her first 40-year period, Bashan, 1850 to 1890. And then David was born of the house of Jesse, and that was the shepherd rod in 1930. And then Verlis Johnson, representing the branch message in 1970, was born after that. So it says right there in Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 11, so it said Jesse the father, David the rod, and Yahshua the branch. Goes in that order. Okay, it says in Hosea 8:4, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes and knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Thine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel was it also the workman, for the workman made it. Therefore, it is not Yahweh, but the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk. The bird shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up, now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure. For they are gone up to Assyria, a wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim hath hired lovers. Yea, though they have hired among the nations, now will I gather them. And they shall sorrow a little for the burden of the king of princes, because Ephraim hath made many altars to sin. Altars shall be unto him to sin. I have written unto him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They sacrificed flesh for the sacrifices of mine offering, and eat it, but the Yahweh accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sin. They shall return to Egypt, for Israel hath forgotten his maker, and buildeth temples, and Judah hath multiplied fenced cities, but I will send a fire upon his cities, and it shall devour the palaces thereof. Now, Hosea chapter 10. Israel is an empty vine. Okay, he bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Rhoda Johnson said in 1970 that the voice spoke to him and said the 144,000 has moved on and has been assigned to his movement. Rhoda Johnson called his feeding pasture a movement. No, it was the third step of the genuine movement of Seventh-day Adventists, and it was the third feeding pasture, but it was not a new independent movement of his own. If it was, he'd have to be identified with one of those five groups of laborers in Matthew 20 that would point out that he was that last group of laborers, the ones called at the end of the 11th hour, Matthew 20, verse 6. Verlis Johnson could not prove that. The only thing he could prove that he was part of that group of laborers, the fourth group that was called there in Matthew 20, verse 5, at the ninth hour in 1844. Brother Johnson finished out that labor of the 11th hour. He finished out the 11th hour that was part of those fourth group laborers. He was the last laborer, and he was the number fourth laborer that labored in the vineyard, called at the ninth hour in 1844, Seventh-day Adventist. But it says, Israel is an empty vine. Well, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, when they came to judgment in 1890, and those that rejected the message of Jones and Widener became an empty vine. 1930, those that rejected the Shepherd's Rod and V.T. Hoff became an empty vine. 1970, those Shepherd's Rod people that rejected Verlis Johnson and Gilead Center and the Isaac Branch message, they became an empty vine. In 2003, when Yahweh sent a message by me to Verlis Johnson, the prophet, and said, repent and restore, which you have trampled on the foot, which you had already restored before, and he rejected it and prosecuted me and kicked me out of the church, he became an empty vine. Gilead Center became an empty vine. Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. Verlis Johnson says, we're to bring forth the 144,000 the first fruits that come out of the Adventist Church. He said, that's what we were raised up for. But Verlis Johnson didn't bring them forth, and because he brought forth fruit unto himself. He got lost in the triangle there. He didn't know what point of the triangle he represented. There's three points to the triangle. He was the third one, but he didn't know where he was at in the stream of time when it was over with. So it says, according to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found guilty, faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. For now they shall say, we have no king, because we feared not the Yahweh. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely, and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the field. So this is exactly what happened New Mount Carmel with Ben Roden finishing up the Rod period in 1970. He has spoken words, swearing falsely, saying, I'm antitypical King David. He was not. Brother Johnson claimed at least a dozen commissions from 1970 to 2003. He was antitypical Paul. He's antitypical Joshua, the son of Nun. He's antitypical. He was antitypical Elijah at another place. And Tommy got down in 2003. He had claimed so many different commissions that he didn't know what he represented. Of course, none of them ever came true that he prophesied. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Bethaven, for the people there shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it, for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall be also carried unto Assyria for a present to the king Jareb. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as a foam upon the water. Okay, so here's the king of the 10 tribes of Israel that were cut off. He went into captivity among the Assyrians, 721 B.C. They were cut off. Okay, the king of Assyria, the 10 tribes. The high place is also of the Avan. The sin of Israel shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountain, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. Do you understand what that sin of Gibeah was? Well, I don't have time for that right now, but we can. That's another story under Joshua. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn, but I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Judah is your lawgiver. Jacob is, in this case, antitypical David and antitypical Elijah in this prophecy here for the 12th hour. Sow unto yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Yahweh till he come. Now let's look at this again. Sow unto yourselves in righteousness. In other words, follow the sanctuary system that has been restored unto you and the ordained system of true worship. Follow it faithfully. That's how you sow unto yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Yeshua. Now, what does it say in Hosea chapter 3, verse 3 through 5? Let's go ahead and read it again. It says, and I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days, and thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, as without a king set upon the throne of David, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod. There's a sanctuary system that has been taken down and out of the way, and without teraphim. Afterwards, this is after here in the latter days, shall the children of Israel return and seek. There's that seek again. The Yahshua their Savior, and David their King, and shall fear the Yahshua and his goodness in the latter days. So there's that word seek again. It says in Hosea 10:13, it says, you have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou distrust in thy way, and the multitude of thy mighty men, and therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people. And all thy fortresses shall be spoiled as Shalman a spoil, Beth Rebel, and the day of battle, the mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness, and a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Okay, this pretty well brings us to the end of our study this hour. You can contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives now to hear the rest of the story. We'll close now with a song. You Must Be Born Again by the Elijah Davis song that I've written. In the twilight of the evening, a man came to Yahshua. He had something on his mind, something hard to define. He pondered in his heart the things he'd seen and heard, but most of all he had to hear from the living Word. He said, Master, I know the sent from heaven, else you couldn't do the things that you do with such love. When time has not witnessed such miracles seen here today, so tell me, Master, what must I do in order to be saved? Yahshua said, you must be born again, my friend, of the water and the blood to defend you from all sin. And walk in heaven's light from this morning on, my friend, to teach the world how to sing a brand new song again. In the twilight of the evening, this world is winding down. We need help from everyone to spread the word around. For the days far spent, we are stripping the scope. But for the night is coming, the man can not help no more. Yahshua said, you must be born again, my friend, of the water and the blood, to defend you from all sin. And walk in heaven's light from this point on, my friend, and teach the world how to sing a brand new song again. How is it with you today, my friend? What do you say? Do you need a first of all to come along the narrow way? Do you need a cleansing friend, resurrection from the dead? Just listen close to me now, for here's what Yahshua said. Yahshua says, you must be born again, my friend, of the water and the blood to bend you from all sin. And walk in heaven's light from this point and on, my friend, and teach the world how to sing a brand new song.